Anyway, like I said, I want to add a little bit, add an extension of remarks this morning about God taking care of my illnesses and problems and so forth with my face and all that. One thing I didn't mention, I should have, is that my wife, Sharon, was with me. I don't think there was an appointment or anything that she wasn't there. And I said, you stay home, you don't feel good, stay home. And, no, I'm going to go. And God used her through this whole process. I failed to mention that this morning. I really should. And she really doesn't even feel like being here tonight, but she's here supporting me tonight. And I can't express how much that means. Okay. James chapter 2. I want to read those first four verses. As we prepare to take a look at some things that God has taught me through this. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and the poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? If you will, think back with me in time to the time when James was pastor of a church at Jerusalem. You know, we've talked about James a little bit. We know a little bit about him. But one of the things that was really, I think, a driving force for him was that he was the pastor of this church, and he wanted to see this church honor God and glorify God. And as he got up every Sunday to preach, and I don't know if it was in a house, I don't know if it was in a specific church building, but as he got up to preach, he looked out over his congregation and he saw this dichotomy, which you had the rich and you had the poor. And I have a feeling that in that church there were both. I have a feeling that there were rich people, there were people with the gold rings and the fine clothing, and then there were the poor people who barely had enough clothing to wear to walk out the door and attend the service. Just picture with me James, as he is ministering to these people in 45 or so A.D. And with that, think of this key thought that God wants no contrast between rich and poor believers. I think there's a key word that comes in here, and I'm not sure the word's even in the passage, but the word equality. It's important for us to realize, as James is telling us, that we are to have no distinction between the rich and the poor. It's not easy to do, is it? Most of us sitting here are essentially middle-class people, do all right economically in this country. But there are a lot of people who do not have what we have. And it's up to us to make sure that they get that opportunity to hear the Word, that they get that opportunity to know the Word, to study the Word. And it's important for us to be willing to accept such people into our fellowship, into our membership. James knew that if he was going to have a church that was working for the Lord, that was glorifying God, if he was going to have a church that was unified in its efforts to serve the Lord, that he needed to have this discussion with his people. We need to be willing to accept everybody into this church. And I think that in the church at Jerusalem, my feeling is that James dealt with that issue And he got the church unified behind that thought. Come with me now, some 200 years ago, 300 years ago in this country. Many of you have probably been into some of the old colonial churches, Williamsburg in that area, or someplace else, and maybe in New England. And you walk into those churches and you see somebody's name on the pew. That person was somebody who at that time was wealthy enough to buy that seat. You look down the back of the church, and up high, you find a gallery. In the southern churches, that's where the slaves would sit. Enslaved people are allowed to go to the churches, but they've got to sit apart from everybody else. Even a lot of the poor whites were not expected to sit in these rows that were reserved for the George Washingtons and the James Madisons and the people like that. So, we have examples in Bible times and examples in colonial times of this not being practiced, of the Lord not being glorified because people were treated differently. Do we have this issue today? I think that if the truth were known, many times we have this issue. I don't know if I'd want that person in our church or not. I don't know if that person would fit into our church. And I think that James is telling us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we should be willing to accept those people, accept anybody into our church, and be willing to assist them, help them, try to lead them to the Lord. Do we look at wealthy people coming into a church and say, okay, that's great, these people can pad our treasury a little bit? I've heard of pastors who do that, not here, obviously, but I've heard of pastors who say, when you go out and meet people, just go to the wealthier homes. Those are the people we want in our congregation. It seems that a minister would not say that. There are instances I've heard of where that has happened. So, we need to practice what James teaches in this passage. Let's think of some of the implications of this. We are to live without partiality. As we live lives of separation from sin, we yet need to love the sinful individual. We need to love the one who comes in as a sinner, a person even maybe with a criminal record or whatever. We need to be willing to help those people. We need to be willing to be a part of their lives and to help them find Jesus as Savior, help them to carry out a spiritual life as well. We need to be willing to go to the poor. Let me illustrate something for you. Sharon and I, all back in the 1970s, were youth leaders at Temple Baptist in Portsmouth. And one of the things that we got really involved in was taking missions trips. Never forget the first missions trip we took. And this is like 1975, I'm going to say, something like that. Went to a city called Port Huron, Michigan. I don't know if any of you have been there. Port Huron is up kind of in the southeast corner of Michigan, along the Great Lakes, along Lake Huron in that area. We made contact with a missionary, Dave Schufelt. His wife is Elaine. They invited us to come and conduct a Bible school in their church. Church was called the Spanish American Baptist Church, if that gives you some idea. Most of the people were poor migrant workers or poor menial workers who didn't have a whole lot. And as our young people went into these kids' homes, they were shocked, they were surprised, they were amazed that there were people living like that. We tried to make contact with some of the people in the church. And the example I want to give you is a guy named Bob. Bob was an older gentleman. I thought he was real old at the time. He's probably younger than I am now. But Bob came to some of the services that we conducted. We conducted some services and sang for the people and so forth. And our people really took an interest in him. Shabby clothes, didn't have much. We talked to Pastor Shufelt and said, why don't we go out and visit this guy? He said, okay, I'll take you out to his home. We get out to this place on the edge of town, this shack, for want of a better word, and Bob is sitting there, just kind of twiddling his thumbs. Dirt floor, one room, kind of a cot off to the side. Little area they use as kind of a kitchen, I guess, toward the back. And all 20 or so of us, I think, went into that room. But we learned a valuable lesson. I'd like to tell you that we were able to lead him to the Lord. We weren't. I don't know if he was ever led to the Lord. But he was attending this church, and we prayed for him for a long time. And he, I don't know the final outcome of it. But I do know this. There were 20 people in that group who had a new appreciation for what this passage in James means. Because we came to love this guy. We wanted to see him come to the Lord. We wanted to see him become active in that church. And the guy he had very, very little. Dirt floor. Abject poverty. And yet, we learned some valuable lessons. We can learn lessons from dealing with people such as that. Also, one more implication of this whole message. Our goal in our Christian lives should be to glorify God. Do we glorify God in the way that we try to help people, serve people, give people opportunities? Are we serving God? Are we glorifying God in everything that we do? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the message of your word as we have, the three of us have given it tonight. We thank you for the opportunity of praising you and honoring you for what we have. And yet we know that there are people throughout this country and throughout the world who are really living in poverty, who really just need a Savior, and they need a Savior who they can trust and depend on the way we depend on you. Just ask that you would guide us in our lives, that we would serve you better. In Jesus' name, amen.